now to day-to-day correspondent and literary editor Karen Grigsby Bates for another new biography, this one about the most famous woman in the history of television, Lucille Ball.
We present that inimitable personality, that talented performer, that versatile entertainer, Lucy Ricardo!
Thanks to reruns on cable, Lucy and Ricky Ricardo and their crazy neighbors, Fred and Ethel Mertz, are as familiar to people born way after I Love Lucy went off the air as they were to 1950s viewers. But as Karen learned in a conversation with the author of Ball of Fire, Stefan Kanfer, a lot of that laughter started with painful beginnings.
A lot of what you mentioned about Lucille Ball's life in the early years was not happy. How did that affect her life as an adult?
My feeling about all the great American humor is that it all has sources that are not in other gags or in laughter, but in pain, rage, humiliation, deprivation, jealousy, avarice, all of these things that we don't want to talk about but really are the sources of humor. You think of Chaplin with his miserable childhood and W.C. Fields and all the rest of them. And I think those were the sources in two senses. One, I think she had to prove to the world that she was an actress, that she was going to be somebody. Second thing was when she began to be funny, I think she was gutsy enough as a beautiful woman, which she was, to fall in the mud, be gummed by alligators, to work with the Three Stooges, where she said the only thing she learned was that seltzer up the nose really hurts, that sort of thing. But she was gutsy enough to go on with that. And I think that was the sources of that kind of humor lay in the principle of wanting to say to the world, I am.
Well, let me tell you something, Tallulah Bankhead. Ethel Mertz may think you're the greatest actress in the world, but not me. All you can do is, ha, 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 darling.
You know, and she was a beautiful woman, yet according to what's in your book, she doesn't seem to have considered herself that. Why?
I think the early insecurities were such. She lost her father at the age of 3, and she spent the rest of her life looking for daddy. And I don't mean Desi. Desi was 6 years younger, and he was not the father image, but the studio heads were the father image. The directors who had the temerity to stand up to her, she tried to walk over them, and if they stood up to her, then they became father figures. And I think all of these impulses just kept repeating themselves in her life. She felt every time something good happened, it would be taken away.
She and her husband wanted themselves portrayed as sort of a normal American household. This was going to be a domestic comedy just, with a lot of slapstick in it. Did they just have a different idea of what normal was? It didn't look like a working class household.
I don't think that CBS wanted to rock the boat in any way. They didn't want to make them seem to be a struggling couple. They had, you know, a refrigerator, not an icebox. They really were people who had enough of the proper means, so that didn't enter into their lives.
We never realized how tough it was to run a house before.
So
just to show you our appreciation, we brought you a little present.
Really?
I did.
For each one of you, a 5-pound box of chocolate.
Now, you say at the height of the show's popularity, at one point, Desi Arnaz pretty much turns to his wife and says, look, you know, we have 2 gorgeous kids. It took us a long time to have them. They were married for 10 years before she had a pregnancy that actually took and lasted. Why don't we just cash out and watch our kids grow up?
Her response to him was, let's have a career. I think that business of trying to prove to the world that Lucille Ball counted, that she mattered, became more important in the end than her family that she had strived for so long. The career was, in the end, what she wanted.
Now, Lucy, I told you couldn't do the commercial. Lucy, what have you got to say for yourself?
Hello, friends. I'm your Vitamin to Benjamin girl. Are you tired, Rhonda?
Never mind.
You poop out at parties.
Never mind.
She should have been able to retire with the Desilu earnings and just have a great, wealthy rest of her life, but that doesn't seem to have happened.
No, she was actually quite bitter, and many people are who are athletes and can't do it anymore. I think she felt that the world was giving her all these prizes, all these honorary degrees and Academy Awards and all that because she was about to die. She really wanted to get it on. I remember Jack Benny saying when I said, you know, you're an extremely wealthy guy. Why are you still doing concerts? And Benny said, I got to get it on, you know. And I think they all want to get it on. And, you know, she did remain pretty good looking to the end. But I think she was no longer wanted. And I think that hurt.
If she was going to give advice to a young actress who might be interested in getting into the business, doing what she did as a comedian, what do you think her advice might have been?
I think her advice would be, honey, take the job. It doesn't matter what the job is, take it. If they make you fall down, fall down. Just stay there. She started with 19 other women, all pretty. She's the last girl standing because she was unafraid.
Stephan Kampfer is the author of Ball of Fire, The Tumultuous Life and Comic Art of Lucille Ball. Mr. Kampfer, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates with author Stephan Kampfer. This is Day to Day from NPR News.